Christian Britschke.
Robbie Suave.
People are going to be bummed they missed the bloopers today. We were just telling some real funny zingers that nobody's going to hear. I don't think the surveillance cameras that monitor our entire lives that the government has, I don't think they reach into this room.
Yeah, well, we've put up enough. You can't see it from the cameras. We put up enough tinfoil that blocks
to keep that
the
out.
NSA rays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of hiding from the government, you...
Still here?
Still here.
Still at large?
Well, they were trying to apprehend you. You've been on the run for a while. You've been, you know, all over the world.
You can see the physical effects on me, the travel and the subterfuge. It's
taking a toll.
I'm getting more and more disheveled by the day.
How's your emotional state? Oh, wait, I don't care. You decided finally, after hiding out in Venezuela, you know, you've set up all those fraudulent charities, you ripped off all those families.
You did that under
I
my
did
name.
That
yeah.
in your name,
yeah.
but it's, you know, your name. So you're hiding, you decide to hide in a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, I think that's where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a sanctuary, I thought it would be.
You thought it would be?
Just so I could get away from the politics and the swirl of all that's, you know, been following me.
Naturally.
And, you know,
But they are still out to get, they is now not just the government, it's a shadowy cabal it's a vast conspiracy.
A vast insidious conspiracy,
yes,
maybe.
It's insidious. There are other adjectives involved in it. And our friend, dear friend of ours, obviously, we go way back, Don Lemon. Some call him Don Lemon.
It's not Don Lemon.
It's Don Lemon. People know that.
Wow. That is the one thing I found somewhat charming about him, is that his last name was Lemon. But go on. Sorry.
No, it's Don Lemon. I'm kidding. It's Don Lemon.
Okay. Okay, so he still has that
Tucker going. Called him Don Lemon.
That's really funny.
the genesis of this joke. Well, he came to the church actually just to warn you that the jackbooted thugs were coming for you. And so he's in the, you know, burst into the church with with some other people who came in, some protesters, and he said something like, what did he say? He said, "Watch out, Christian," and people thought he said, "Watch out, Christians."
Oh boy, yeah,
and that it was part of it was an anti. Oh, he's anti Jesus, anti religion.
No, he was
and
just
so,
pro this Christian,
and so he's in a little bit of legal jeopardy,
a little bit of hot water. Although I did just see,
they let him go.
Yeah, they tossed the charges
for now. Well, they said that there was not probable cause. It's a magistrate, and the magistrate said not probable cause. So what actually happened, obviously this happened, but in alternate reality, what happened is...
That the rest of you experience.
Yes,
yeah.
We're experiencing time a little bit differently now. Mm-hmm. We're doing, we're Billy Pilgrims. We're just unstuck. It's great. It's all happening at once. Trafalmador, awesomeness, little plungers everywhere.
The only problem is this Austrian bodybuilder who keeps coming back trying to kill me, but
we can get some workout tips for him.
We've got
is the workout episode. We're going to be talking about exercise pump.
Okay, we will, but I will say Arnie is actually not who you'd want to get workout tips from. But
no.
we'll get into that.
We'll get
later.
To that.
Okay.
So Don Lemon, these protesters come into the church. This is all related to the ICE stuff happening in Minnesota. And
the protesters are there because the pastor at the church, or somewhat at least some member affiliated with the church,
alleged to be assisting ICE in some way.
Yeah, he's they said he was some member of DHS or an ICE agent, or
like
at least that's
he's like a civilian deputy. What is the?
He's
got
a
silver badge.
I don't
like
think
in
he's
the Wild
like,
West.
Yeah, I don't think he's like one of the ones like wearing a vest.
Anyway,
and
storm. They break into the church. They shouldn't do that.
No,
they can't. You can't interrupt religious. It's not public property. And Don Lemon. You know, he says he didn't know what they were going to do. He didn't organize it. He should not be, if that's the case, he should not be charged.
Yeah.
If they have evidence that he was well aware and to the extent that he was a co-organizer of it, then you could charge him. They have to present evidence of that. They didn't. So the magistrate tossed the charges. But it is funny. There's this stupid clip of him interviewing the pastor and being like, the pastor being like,
in the middle of the service,
they can't be here. They can't do this. And then he says the dumbest line I've ever heard anyone but what about their free speech?
Right. Yeah.
It's private property.
Yeah.
You don't have free speech rights on, like, people get so confused about right. what the simplest fucking amendment says.
Right.
It just constrains the government
mm-hmm.
from arresting you for speech, from bringing penalties against you from speech in your private capacity, in the public space that regulates what we can do in the public. You can protest. The people who are protesting ICE have every right to do that. They can record them. They can't interfere with law enforcement operations. You know, these are very well adjudicated and somewhat obvious, frankly, rules.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have a right to go on into someone's house and start talking. Oh, free speech. You can't, you know, we love when they say on social media, say, oh, but what about, it's not the First Amendment. Now, we can say we want the company to abide by First Amendment. Maybe the company says it does and we should hold them to that obligation, but it's not, they're not violating, they're only violating your free speech rights if the government does something bad
right.
to you.
Yeah.
If the government makes the company take down your speech, then yes, that violates the First Amendment.
And this is just such a great example, too, of like, I mean, the nice thing about free speech is that it doesn't come at anyone else's expense. It's
right.
a right that you have
right.
as an individual. Here's a perfect example of someone seeming to think that, like, your speech has to come at the expense of someone else's, right? They're
–
and I mean, you know, the First Amendment protects not just speech but free exercise, and that's
right.
what was that issue here. You know, people trying to have a Sunday service, these goons bust in and start screaming, and it's, yeah, really, really despicable.
You're a church-going man.
I am. I'm not a Baptist, but still I would like to see them, you know, be able to – you know, there's a lot of – there's too much shouting and hands-waving already at a Baptist service for my,
taste. There should be some – singing of hymns, right?
Yeah, it should be, it should be...
austere?
No, not austere. It should be, you know, I'm Catholic, so it should be exalted, but a little more, I don't know.
Orderly.
Orderly. Yeah, I think that's the correct way to say it. Reverent, very good. Yeah, these are the good adjectives.
Yeah.
Although, you know, that's not, it really depends what parish you go to. There's one parish near my, near where I used to live in D.C., majority black parish, and so they would do like a gospel mass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which like had a lot of the affectations of
a Baptist,
but is a Catholic parish. Yeah. So this is what I find just curious and interesting about this incident. So firstly, it is kind of a nice reminder of like, you know, there's we talked last week about how racism is bad, and
mm-hmm.
we've really gone down a dark path on that front. But this is also
very basic shit lib stuff.
We did racism. Yeah, but
I'm against it.
Yeah, you said that. Me too.
We're still waiting for our awards.
Yeah.
Where's our good person award? Courage? Profiles in Courage? Something along those lines? I would hate
to center myself in this struggle, but
yeah.
No, that's what I want to bring up is like this is a good reminder of like the peak woke stuff was also terrible, right? And also bad for people's rights. Yeah, I was talking with our producer Cody earlier just about like
a hero. A lion among men. Stayed here at until 6 p.m. yesterday to help me set up for yet another little video production I had to do.
That's really great. Yeah, they don't get enough credit, the people behind the scenes.
Producers.
And,
producers.
Honestly, I feel like we're giving them too much credit already. But so let's move on from that. But just like how generic and on the nose their commentary was to like when they're, you know, yelling at the pastor, you know, they're like, why aren't you out there supporting, you know, the black and brown bodies in the streets? And you know, the like hands up, don't shoot stuff from Ferguson.
God.
It's like a decade old at this
lie,
point.
Which anyone who is not a moron knows is false.
Right.
That
right.
was not articulate. It was
right.
not a hands up, don't shoot situation that mm-hmm. has been debunked.
Right. So, yeah. But clearly this is where these people's minds still are. So it's a reminder that like, I mean, that stuff still does exist. It's a reminder that it's good that it doesn't dominate the discussion and just people's attitudes the way it used to.
That's true.
The other thing I found interesting about this incident, I'd be interested to get your perspective as someone more in this kind of television media world
mm-hmm.
is how do you become such a – Don Lemon for a while was like the main CNN anchor, right?
One of the main ones.
So you're – talking about politics every day, you think you'd glean just like via osmosis, get a little knowledge about how the government and the Constitution and legalism
I see why
works.
You would mistakenly think that.
How can you just be that stupid and have that role? I guess I'm just curious how physically works.
Let
you
me
know?
Tell you,
please.
You can be pretty stupid and succeed in television punditry. You can. There's no accountability. You can call them like all wrong. You know, occasionally you can get fired for having a really bad prediction. What's that guy? He used to work for the Clintons, and then he became a right wing commentator. He looks like
Dick
a little.
Morris?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He looks like a little hobbit goblin monster.
His appearance is beside the point. But
you know, he predicts Mitt Romney's going to win by more electoral votes than there actually is in the entire electoral
right.
college in 2012. And Fox does part ways with him after that.
Yeah.
But that is a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
Usually you can just be flagrantly wrong. I mean, I was watching. I mean, you got to be a little bit careful with this. In our president is very litigious, which is not something I love about him. Although, you know, defamation, libel are real things. Everybody can take advantage of them. I was watching, you know, Scott Jennings, you know, poning the libs on CNN every night.
Yeah.
Kind of is fun stuff. Cameron Caskey, I talked about this on Rising, I think, this week. Cameron Caskey, who's one of the Parkland survivors, he's a liberal commentator. I have no issue with him. But he said, he just flatly asserted that Donald Trump is provably highly involved in sex trafficking with reference to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, great,
and he
yeah.
just stated that.
Yeah.
And then they all they started to move on. And Scott Jennings was like, wait a minute. We're just going to let that slide? And then he said it again. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay, he's not provably highly involved in sex trafficking.
Yeah.
You can think that in your heart, but there's no yet he knew Jeffrey Epstein, as did many other people. There's no evidence whatsoever, not a shred of it, linking him to any actual sex crimes.
Right.
So you should not say that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Trump might sue you. He might sue the network for saying it.
Shouldn't say demonstrably false things. But what you're saying is that there's no penalty to it. You can just lie.
Every now and then there's a little bit of a penalty. But being that's more – maybe there's a penalty for that. Kind of being wrong about structural things, but being wrong about the First Amendment and what it protects is a very common occurrence
yeah,
for people on both sides of the political spectrum. You will routinely hear, well, the First Amendment protects free speech, but not hate speech.
Right, yeah.
I've heard basically every political leader on the planet say that on, you know, the left says that one, and then Tim Walz said that while he was, he said, and he added to it, well, it doesn't protect hate speech, and it doesn't protect misinformation, and it doesn't protect misinformation
yes,
about
does,
the election.
Yeah.
It protects each and every single one of those things. Mm-hmm. Very small, little category of speech that is not protected by the First Amendment. Yeah. We all know pretty well. It's the obvious, like, you can't threaten serious, imminent violence against someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more specific it is, the more less likely it is to be protected. You can just say we should overthrow the government.
Yeah.
But then when you start saying specific that, okay, we're going to attack this building, and here's how we'll do it, and here's when we're going to do it, then it moves out of protected category.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was at I can't remember the organization, but it was some First Amendment Journalist Association dinner that I got invited to. And the speaker was Tim Kaine, Senator Tim Kaine.
Who?
Senator from Virginia, right?
It does ring a bell.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton's VP, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
you
other
remember
Tim.
Her, yeah.
the Tim who's less of like a total loser.
Who's the first Tim?
Tim Walz.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, we don't have to think about him. He's already forgotten. That's how I'm just trying to move
on. Well,
I
find Tim Kaine truly forgettable. Like, I can't even picture what he looks like, really.
No, I can't either. Yeah. Even though I was in a room with him and saw him and have a memory of something he said. But so this is what he said. He's at a First Amendment event, a journalism event, and he's like, I believe the First Amendment's protection of the press is so important, and that's why I'm really worried about Facebook and social media companies making journalism unprofitable and ripping off journalism, and we need to regulate that or something to that effect. And it's like, this is just a core misunderstanding, right? It's like your vision of the First Amendment is that it's like a protection for like
for
a guild protection.
Profits.
Yeah. A guild protection for like the newspaper business, when in fact it's a right to speak freely as an individual, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this last time, but like, yeah, freedom of the press, like for anyone who's confused about this, is not freedom of like members of the press. It's freedom of like the printing press to be able to say what you want.
Which
right?
is right, which is why the defense of Don Lemon in this situation is not, oh, but he's a journalist, so he can do this. No. The First Amendment protects journalism the activity. It doesn't protect journalists.
As a protected
There's
category.
There's no credentialed category. Yeah, it extends these rights. Really, it's not even – it extends the rights by – negating the right of the government.
Yes.
It restricts the government behavior. It doesn't recognize a specific category of people who have this protection. Mm-hmm. That's why some of these arguments are about, you know, do immigrants get it? Do who gets it? Well, if you're here, you get it because it just constrains the government.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affirmatively give you anything. It says government may not do this. Mm-hmm. Congress shall make no law. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court has interpreted that to mean not just Congress, but all branches of government.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So we've settled that.
Yep. You can use as much misinformation as you want. You can erode the profits of the New York Times or any other website as much as you want.
And we are practicing that right now because I want to misinform our audience. Let's let's practice some misinformation. Let's spread it. Let's get it out there.
Okay,
let's say false things.
Yeah, give me one. Yeah.
I don't know. No, I can't really think of anything. I don't want to do it.
Joe Biden won the 2020 election. The vaccine is good for you.
The vaccine. So I read.
Did you want to get any hate speech before we move on?
well,
you said it's protected.
People are going to consider this hate speech. I was speeding. I'm always late for this taping because Friday is the one day of the week I can wake up a little later. And
you work so hard.
Yeah, and I did go to the gym, but I wasn't able to lift today. I'm so angry because I did get the flu vaccine very belatedly in the season, but I did finally get it this week, and it makes your arm sore, and you can't lift anything. And this, I got it on Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's still my arm is still sore, so I have not been able to lift. I did like leg stuff today. I just did the fucking bike.
Yeah,
like I'm
that's
some
so that's so boring
yoga mom or something.
Yeah, you're like in that episode of Black Mirror, churning out the credits.
Yeah, I like that episode.
That's a good one.
Actually, I should be that. I love a song from that haunting song that plays. Anyway, I did get the vaccine. You know, I'm not against vaccines. It does very little good this season, from what I'm understanding online, is that it is not well tailored to the flu has been bad this season. I know a lot of people have gotten it.
Yeah, I've had a friend who's in the hospital with 105 degree fever. Right?
Awful.
Like, yeah, not good.
It's not. And Matt Iglesias, so then I'm speeding here because I'm late.
And you hit Matt Iglesias? Oh, goodness.
I ran over Matt Iglesias. Yeah. That would be a huge loss to the take ecosystem in D.C. He's responsible for like 65% of all political commentary.
Yeah, right.
But
and
he,
another 20% is people responding to Matt Iglesias, right?
Furious. Yeah. Furious leftist. I mean, you can't help but like the guy after like environmental, like Greta Thunberg types, you know, tried to hold him hostage or something. It's just based. It's just awesome.
Yeah. And he was cool as a cucumber. Yeah. He's like, this is the world I live in. I was born in the shadows. Don't do it. Your bait impression.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh. It will be very painful for you. So I like Matt Iglesias. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But he was just getting over the flu, and he wrote this whole column about how, you know, people getting vaccinated is down, and it's all Trump's fault. It's RFK Jr.'s fault. And then later in the column, again, I like him. So there's a rare example of me criticizing him. He concedes that he did not get the flu shot this year. And but then he softens it. He lets himself off the hook by saying, but it actually doesn't work very well this year and it wouldn't have made much of a difference. And like, this is cutting against the entire column. So I'm assuming you did not choose not to get the flu shot because of RFK Jr. or Trump.
Yeah.
You just were lazy. And maybe that's a lot of people, or maybe even people, frankly, rationally deciding from the fact that it doesn't do a lot of good in this season particularly not to get it, which I'm not saying that's a good thing or I'm endorsing that choice. Again, I got it, even though it disrupted my entire week by, you know, making my arm sore.
So in a way, this makes you less healthy because now you're not getting the exercise that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me less mentally well. If I don't get – I have 4 workouts a week. And if I don't get all 4 of those, I become mentally unhinged.
Yeah.
And I start having to beat people with my fists.
That's concerning that we're locked into this room together for next hour.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. There's like good meme that's like, it's like a caveman and it's like, lift big rock, feel better inside.
It works.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, we had to pause our brains during COVID where it's like, can you have a rational discussion about how actually efficacious is this vaccine? Is it worth it for you and your individual circumstances to get it? Are you allowed to make this decision? We do that with the flu vaccine all the time, which kills lots of people die from the flu, right? So we're happy to have that conversation. There's no big push to mandate the flu vaccine and say you're not allowed to get into bars and restaurants unless you get it. But here we are. I was also not able to lift when I went to the gym. Not because I got the flu vaccine. I'm not a libtard, but
because there was too many people at the
gym.
That is on my list this week.
Do we want to just do it right now?
Yes, the post New Year's swarming of the gym.
It's disastrous. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for people who want to, you know, get back into fitness or whatever. That's great. I went on Friday afternoon, which is normally the gym is dead, right? And it was packed. And, you know, for the stuff that I like to do in the gym, I like to, like, do the big three, you know, bench press, squats, deadlift, right? There's only so much capacity for those things, right? So it's, you know, and so I purposefully don't go when it's busy. I'll get up early in the morning or I'll go late at night. So those things fill up pretty quickly. There's only three benches in the gym I go to, right? And so I go, and it's crowded, and it's like, oh, what am I really going to do instead? And but then the other thing that's really irritating is not only does it get more crowded because it's January and people are getting back into the gym, it's filled with people who don't know gym etiquette or what they're doing.
Yes.
And this is what really bugs me.
Women.
Sure. I know you're no fan of the fairer sex, but I go to Gold's, which is like kind of like a weightlifter. It's more focused on weightlifting, right? But like the thing that bugs me to no end is when, because even if the gym is crowded, but everyone knows the etiquette and knows what they're doing, you cycle through relatively quickly.
For sure.
Yep.
For sure.
If it's the thing that kills me is when someone will go get a squat rack, use it not for squatting, and then just kind of like assume that they just own it for however long they're in the gym. They'll leave their weights there and their stuff and then go off and do something else and then come back, or they'll just be like sitting there doing curls and the squat. It's like, that's there. Like, there's an exercise that you can only use this thing for, and you're not doing that exercise. You can do that anywhere else, right? It's just rude, you know?
I feel all of this. I feel the same way. So I work out at the gym in my apartment building.
Yeah.
It's a really good gym. Mm-hmm. I've lived in a bunch of different apartment buildings in D.C. This is – usually they're – you know, the new buildings, they're all pretty nice. This is by far the nice one. It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of stuff. It has a pretty solid capacity for people. I go in the morning for the most part before I do rising. Mm-hmm. I get up at 6 o'clock. It's great. I have to walk down two flights of stairs. Mm-hmm. I'm up at 6. I'm in the gym at 6:03. It's great.
That's right. Yeah.
I do these four workouts that I have. You know, I had a trainer make them for me a couple of years ago. I still do just those. Mm-hmm. So what I do is exactly the same every week. Mm-hmm. And usually in that 6 to 7:30 period, right, it's the same. It's the same couple dudes. Mm-hmm. We have our rhythm.
Yeah.
Like, we know that it's been going on so long now with basically the same group of people. Mm-hmm. I know what's like leg day for the other people.
Yeah, right,
and
right, yeah.
I know a very in-demand machine is that we only got one of them. I wish we had two. Some gyms have more than one of them. I don't know the name of anything. Is where you've got like bands.
Oh, the like fly. Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Yeah, mm-hmm. Where you pull that, you work like in here. Mm-hmm. And there's only
I was just about to say, your in here is looking very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You can't see it because he's wearing a sweater, but, you know.
Well, you know, they, they,
all right, let's keep your shirt
on.
You
know, we'll just throw those out there. But there's only one of those, so it's a competition to get it.
Sure.
But I know that, like, on the day I want to use it, I'm going to use it, and then the guy doing bench press one I like, he's doing that, and then we switch. So we don't even have to say anything.
Perfect, yeah.
I've never said two words to him.
You don't need to.
And we just switch at the same time on Tuesdays. It's great.
It's wonderful, yeah.
But after New Year's, it's overrun with people, amateurs, who just sit on the equipment or just put stuff on equipment they're not using.
Oh, yeah. That's, no,
or
that's
sit
the worst,
on the equipment and just scroll their phones.
Unacceptable, yeah.
If you're just going to scroll your phone.
Do that somewhere else.
Get off the fucking equipment. Yeah. Go away.
Yeah.
Do that in any of the seating. Just do that in your room.
Yeah.
I will not. It's worse. These kinds of people don't get up at 6 a.m. to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. So it's worse at any other time.
Yeah.
But like on the weekend or some days Fridays before we were filming this, I would work out later, and then it's just
just packed.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's no good. I'm trying to get back into running now, and this is actually part of the motivation. Yeah. That's the appeal of running is you don't have to rely on anyone else.
So how do you run at this time of the year though? It's so cold and dark.
We've had a few days where it actually hasn't been so bad outside, and so I've taken advantage of that. And then you just gotta layer, and then eventually that can get kind of like, it's actually kind of fun if you get the layers right. Yeah. It's miserable for the first 15 minutes, and then you're just kind of like inside a big hot sweat pocket in the bracing cold air around you. And there's a bit of an adventure too, right? Where it's like, it's really cold out, and if I stop running, I'll die, right? I'll be stuck out here. So
I would like to do more running again. I would like to actually slim down a little bit. I've bulked up more than I want to. I want to lose some weight. I want to lose about 6 to 7 pounds, and cardio is, for me at least, the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like running on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. I do the bike at the gym, so that's what I did this morning. I did the bike, and I played like my Nintendo Switch as I was doing it.
Yeah.
So get a little bit of video game time. But I prefer to run, and then I'll have ideas for my novel, for Dungeons and Dragons.
Maybe think about the show a little bit.
No, I do not think about work. No work.
I mean, running is great when you're good at it, and I'm no longer good at it.
You were good at it. We were both good at it in different phases.
You know, I actually had a bit
of
nostalgia because I thought I was jogging on the mall earlier, and I thought for a second I saw
it
you.
It was me?
Yeah, but no, it was some other twink prancing around. But...
you don't know the terminology. That doesn't apply to me. I'm too old for that now.
Where are you in the
day? Have you never seen that It's Always Sunny skit? Twink Versal. It's that's your homework, son.
Oh boy,
go watch it.
Okay, all right.
But
Well,
I've got one. Actually, this is a segue into the book I just finished.
Ooh.
I finished Muscle Man by Jordan Castro. It's a new book. It's a novel. Suderman read it. He recommended it on the podcast, so I picked it up. It's a novel. It's kind of like the closest thing I can think to what it's like is that White Noise by Don DeLillo. Have you ever read that one? It's postmodern novel. Like it's first person about an academic, like a graduate student type academic who is teaching at a college, and it takes place over the course of one day. It's just he goes to an academic meeting, then he goes to the gym, then he goes to another academic meeting, and it's just all entirely in his head. It's kind of
was it enjoyable? Did you like it?
I did not absolutely love it, but there was some merit I was getting out of it, and I liked it more as it went on.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of insane, but he's how do I describe it? It's trying to do a commentary on like the state of men.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a little bit aimless and he's obsessed with working out.
Mm.
Like he's always looking at people in a very, like, processing, like, how thick their arms are, how big their muscles are.
Yeah.
And he imagines himself at all times about how he would talk about this on a podcast. That's the funny thing.
Oh, boy.
And then it gets into, I don't want to spoil it, I guess, if people are listening, they're going to read it, but it goes in a very, it's like a modern 1984. It's kind of a... It's an academic chamber type is what's happening around him, and he doesn't comprehend that that's what's going on until, like, you figure that out before he does.
Oh, okay.
So it has some...
this actually sounds pretty good.
...thematic relevance. You might like it.
Yeah. Okay, I'll check
it out.
But
the whole thing's just his internal monologue. But the gym identity is so central to him, and it's supposed to be, I guess, a commentary on men working out, listening to podcasts, it's anti-liberal. It's like, it's not making fun of people like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking to them and going like liberal campus Me Too bullshit is pushing you to insanity, my friend.
Yeah.
And it's not blaming you for that. It's saying like, these people are bad. Like the liberal administrator characters, everyone mocks wokeness now. There's not a constituency left. I saw the trailer and of course all the idiot right-wing people who can't even recognize satire were screaming about the He-Man trailer on social media yesterday. Did you see this? They're making a He-Man movie. It looks like Thor Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. Yeah. the joke is, and I have no idea if it'll be good or not, but there's a shot of him. It's like, I don't know. He's in America and he's going to get raptured into the He-Man universe planet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the character is sitting at a desk and it says his name and it says pronouns he, him.
No.
it's obvious. I'm not 1,000% sure, but it seems pretty clear they're going to mock that concept in the movie.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah.
That's going to generate humor. And yet I saw so many right-wing people on Twitter being like, oh my God, this movie's gone woke too. They've wokeified He-Man. They've ruined it. I'm like, shut up
for one second.
Like, I think they're setting up to make fun of this like every other person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, did you ever watch the HBO Watchmen show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was actually really good,
right?
It was
fantastic.
Right? And in a way, that is like a very liberal show in a lot of ways, but they're...
Yes, it was.
But it's also, they make fun of it as well. Like, they go to watch the TV, like some TV show, and it has like an extended trigger warning about like there's transphobia in the show, right? Yeah, you gotta appreciate the satire, the mocking. Like, that's what the culture is gonna do for you, right wingers. Yes. So like, get a little smarter.
Embrace it.
Yeah, learn to recognize it. Right. Yeah. You sound like the people saying that the Starship Troopers is a fascist movie, right?
Well, and then some people are saying, oh, but one of the people who has a writing credit on it was involved in the Wonder Woman 2, and that was a bad woke. I don't even know if that was a woke movie. It was just a bad movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, now you're just looking for something to be upset about.
This is really like last man politics, right? All other political issues have been solved. We're at the end of history, and so now the discourse is whether the writer from Wonder Woman 2 is doing the He-Man remake.
Yeah, and you know, execute that person in the town square, because that was a really bad movie. But
sure.
I agree.
Okay, so I might actually pick up this book. I am always worried about any sort of attempts to intellectualize or psychologize
yourself.
Well, yes, I'm resistant to psychotherapy.
Uh-huh. Tell me more about that.
Stop that.
Tell me more about that.
Man, you remind me of my mother. No, because like, I really like the gym. It's a place where everyone is there trying to improve themselves in some way. So I like that aspect. And then as we were talking about, like, it is just, it's a, like, doing physical activity makes you feel good physically and mentally. And so if this is going to now be some subject of the discourse and I have to think about the discourse while I'm, you know, lifting, I don't want to do that.
You don't
wanna
do that.
No, I really don't. Have you ever watched, speaking of Jim Bro canon, have you ever watched the documentary Pumping Iron?
No.
We were talking about Arnie earlier today. So this is a documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger's last, whatever the competition is, like last major bodybuilding competition. And he's gone up against Lou Ferrigno, who plays the Hulk eventually, right? And it's excellent. It's one of the most entertaining documentaries I've ever seen. The thing is, though, I didn't realize how, like, fruity bodybuilding was until watching this documentary. Because it's not... There's not display, like a bodybuilding competition has nothing to do with strength,
right?
It is a subjective measurement of like what you look like,
right?
And so you're just posing.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know, that, and that's why you mentioned you want to get workout advice from Arnie. Maybe not, because bodybuilders are actually, all things considered, like kind of weaker given, because they're working one muscle at a time. It's like, I want to make this thing look bigger. You're not working out a whole system, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I really recommend it. It's interesting to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger, someone who is like in his role, he's just supposed to be a body, right? But he's very clearly like very high IQ. And so like you can see how he went from just like, I'm supposed to be the talent, to being governor of California and a successful action star, because he's just very much smarter than everyone else around him, and also kind of a psychopath.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's a really interesting window into his psychology as well. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that. Yeah. Okay. Mm. We got good mutual recommendations.
All right.
Well, I have to finish War and Peace first. This is never going to happen.
Have to finish War and Peace. Well, now I finished this book, so I could read something else. Should I read War and Peace? That seems pretty daunting.
I mean, I am loving it. Like, I'm not bored with it at all, but it is 1,200 pages, so it takes a while.
I usually switch off between, you know, Agatha Christie is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I've done all the Hercule Poirot's. I guess I'm going to do Miss Marple's next. Mm. So I've done she has like 1,000 mystery stories.
Yeah.
So I usually read one of those. That's my dessert. Mm. And then I'll go back to something a little more challenging or serious or...
I read a lot of Isaac Asimov short stories.
Oh, I love Isaac Asimov.
He has
Asimov
a gajillion. And
the last
normally,
question.
Yeah,
beautiful one.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, it's a lot of times too. Depending on the collection you get, it'll have little like vignettes about like how we got the story published, and it's just such a weird window into a world where like you can make money as like a freelancer,
as a writer,
publishing for like 8 different science fiction magazines. Yeah, it's a better time.
Yeah, it's hard. I've tried a couple times to submit short stories to science fiction fantasy publishers, and never succeeded. But
damn.
Maybe
me neither. I only did it once, but you know, I was. They said it was too good. Yeah. They said they couldn't publish something so good. Nevertheless, should we hit a political topic? Do you want to talk about?
I guess we should talk about something real again. I've got a lot of TV topics on here today. We did exercise. Oh, my scooter was stolen again.
This is political.
Again. Did I complain about this last week? I don't think I did.
No. Well, give us the whole backstory here.
Well, it's happened before. So most people know, because I'm very loud about it, I lease a scooter. It's like a monthly fee for it. You can get the scooters on the street, but they're actually quite expensive if you use them a lot. And I do use them a lot. Not right now. It's winter. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever. I don't need it right now, but there happened to be a warm day. And this happened to me in August. Mm-hmm. Now, I had left it locked, so I didn't like left it defenseless, but it was locked. Last time I'd left it in probably a sketchy area.
Union Station. Right? Yeah.
And I went to New York. I came back later that same day, and by the time I got back, it was gone. Lock was still there, still locked.
Yeah.
So they must have disassembled it.
Yeah.
Happened again. Yeah. This time it was in a area of the city. It was a neighborhood. I was in the house. I was at a friend's house having dinner. It was locked right outside their door.
Yeah.
I came out. I was in there for 2.5 hours. I came out, gone. Same situation. Lock still there.
Yeah.
Scooter gone. And for them to do it while I was just like in the house, like 20 feet away.
Yeah, it's brazen.
That makes me feel so violated.
Yeah, because it was right there. Right.
And again, what is the purpose of doing this? Because you can't charge it or make it go without my phone.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a setting. When I get a new one, I'm going to have to check if there's like some kind of tracking thing you can turn on. I ordered a tracker.
Yeah.
Of course, just tracking it doesn't help.
What's that going to do for you? The police are not going to do anything.
Well, I'm going to buy a baseball bat and I'm going to beat the person who does this to death next time.
Okay. Yeah.
It would be, to quote Pulp Fiction, it would be worth them doing it just to catch them doing it. Unless it's like, if it's like a crazy homeless person, I'm not going to go near them. But if it's some punk kid.
Yeah.
They're going to grow up real fast.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so, I mean, is there something valuable to the, like, scooter parts that you can disassemble?
I have no earthly idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to get a police report.
Yeah.
Because
just for, like, insurance
the company
purposes,
requires
you
to... So the company will replace it. I have the theft insurance policy. So it's not a financial loss to me.
Yeah.
But
it's irritating.
Annoying.
You feel violated. It's your property.
It's,
or the scooter company's property if you're leasing
it. I don't
like
it.
Nevertheless. It's remarkable how little police protection does for you.
They asked me this time, the first time they were like, I don't expect them to do anything. It's a stupid little scooter. But this, they did ask this time, like, is there any, you said it's a house, is there a Ring camera? It's outside the Ring camera. So they asked a couple questions.
Okay, that's not so bad. Yeah. That's better than nothing.
But if it's, even if it's a car, right, do they actually, they don't
no,
go
no,
get
no,
it,
no,
I
they
think.
Don't. Yeah, I mean, if you ever talk to anyone who's had some personal property stolen.
Which is a lot of people in D.C., by the way.
Yes, and you know, now with AirTags or whatever else, remember when the city government was handing out free AirTags to, like, track your stolen car?
Which didn't even matter, because the police weren't,
well, they
wouldn't
they don't
do anything,
do anything
right?
with it. Yeah, they're just like, it's not our job
That's
to go
true,
get your
right?
property
That's true,
right?
I'm not
back.
Wrong about
no,
that.
No, not at all, not at all. The police could not give less of a shit about getting your stolen property returned to you.
Yeah,
which is why let's privatize it so they actually work for us. And then, you know, you would, instead of paying theft prevention insurance on your scooter, you would just pay a monthly fee to some goons who would go track your scooter down should it be stolen, you know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vigilante justice.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, so it's like the police...
We have to take matters into our own hands. Batman style.
No, but he's doing it for free, which I don't like.
Then we'll lead the police in a glorious counter-revolution.
Don't... I can see your hand going up to do that.
No. I broke you.
Oh boy! All right, yeah, we definitely will never need to order a one for a week since Robbie's done a Bane impersonation ticker.
I just love that movie.
It's great.
Anyway, it's no good getting your scooter stolen. It sucks. It's not fun being the victim. Again, minor crime, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just a small inconvenience, but it does suck.
It's low trust. Yeah, you listen to people who go to, like, you know, they are from East Asia or whatever. I'm sure your fiance maybe has some stories about this. Where it's like
East Asians. I don't know anything about that.
You can, or your husband now, you can, like, leave, like, your wallet on the counter and go to another city and come back, and it'll be on the counter, right? Like, people
just,
like,
they don't have crime there.
They don't have crime. There's zero crime, yeah. That's not America.
No.
That's not America. We're a bit too messy of a republic for that. But
I mean, it's a city. It's cities.
Well, no, well, but like you go to Tokyo, you, like, you know, you just leave your laptop on the table. I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's a stereotype.
Yeah, but they, I don't know. They don't have freedom there. I guess, right? They trade off between age old
freedom,
safe,
and
security and freedom,
yeah.
And they.
Why does that have to be an age old trade off? Can it be a new one that we're solving?
We want it both, right?
Yeah.
I want
freedom and security. Yeah.
I mean, this is why, you know, debates about whatever policy can get. Okay, there's just some, maybe your line is here, mine is here, yours is here.
Yeah.
We all want a maximum both, but there's just a point at which, right, we could survey. We're all submitting to more surveillance in our society. Just, it's our revealed preference, frankly. We're not fighting it.
No one cares about privacy.
We're not putting up resistance to it. And one of the effects of that is, in theory at least, crime prevention or law enforcement is super powerful. I think we've talked about this before, but like you just couldn't be a serial killer anymore. You would not get away with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be impossible. The things like Bundy did or whoever to get away, to get, you know, like literally escaped prison and ran away and they like didn't know what he looked like anymore because they didn't have a picture of it. Like that could not, you couldn't do that. And so that's definitely a better thing.
Yeah. Well, so what I'm curious is like, so, I mean, murder rates are way down from when they used to be, you know, in like the 90s.
Way down from the 80s, and then they spiked again, and they've come down.
They've come down
in the last couple of years, which
is
good.
And so, like, you know, some of that clearly probably does have to do with this
surveillance
that we were
everywhere.
Able to do. But it doesn't seem to do anything for the property crime, right? Because you're still funneling the information into this police bureaucracy that doesn't do anything. Like, the cops will actually try to solve a murder. They're not going to solve stolen
for
property,
murder,
right? Yeah.
And, like, frankly, I used to be you're probably against the death penalty, the religious ground? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was always...
Not all Catholics are. That is the position of the Catholic Church.
Amber's,
but it's also...
definitely not.
it's a controversial stance the church has taken. And it's not one of the, in the, like, hierarchies of, like, you have to believe this in order to be a Catholic. It's not that.
Right.
So
I was always against it.
But I am against it, yeah.
I was always against it on practical grounds because we have executed the wrong people before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can, if evidence later contradicts, you can still try to make whole someone who you've imprisoned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could release them and pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's great, but you can do something. If you've executed someone, there's nothing you could do for that person.
Yeah.
So I opposed it on like a government practicality. I don't trust the government with this power.
To get it right, yeah.
But frankly, now, I mean...
That
probably
can get it
happens
right.
Less. I mean, I have no doubt Luigi Mangione is guilty. I have no doubt. You know, there's the Charlie Kirk shooter. I have no doubt he's guilty. They should have due process, and the government has to present evidence. But there's going to be compelling video footage that makes this unambiguous, and that. So then, that like removes what was really my major problem with it.
Yeah.
So I'm not. Again, I'm not for. I'm ambivalent about whether that is the penalty enforced or life in prison is enforced. I have strong feelings about how it is conducted.
Yeah.
The medicalized lethal injection model.
Mm-hmm.
We were starting to get in this on Rising this week. I am opposed to it.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. It is cruel.
Yeah.
There is very little evidence that it is like less cruel than other means, and considerable evidence that it is more cruel.
Yeah.
It has a failure rate to it.
Yeah, right.
We don't know that it is relatively painless. We have some evidence it is painful, and it's about making us feel better.
Right.
It's about making us feel like it's some kind of medical process.
Yeah.
We are ending a human life. We are killing someone.
Just,
it is not a medical transition to a state of no longer aliveness.
Right. Let's be honest about it. Yeah, the old Kevin Williamson point that got him in some trouble, but I agree with it. Yeah.
We shouldn't hang people, but like...
Yeah, leave it to the government to fuck up killing yourself with drugs, right?
Yes.
People... So some of the most dysfunctional people in the world figured out how to inject something into their arm and kill themselves, and the government can't help but fuck it up. So I'm definitely against the death penalty on, thou shall not kill grounds and the practical grounds as well. I think the best argument for it is I used to think that, like, okay, the justice system is just for defense and self-defense and deterrence, right?
Yeah.
And I don't quite believe that anymore. I think that there is actually, like, society does need some sort of, like...
Interesting.
Retribution.
Rehabilitation retribution.
Yeah, you want, like, society demands that, like, when someone commits a horrible crime, that, like, they are brought to justice, right? That there was some punishment meted out for the horrible thing that they did, right? That goes beyond just, like, self-defense or something like that. And so on those grounds, maybe you could get to justifying the death penalty, but I would still oppose
it. Mike Lee tweeted this week, always a bad beginning of a sentence.
Yeah.
we execute Charlie Kirk's killer in the public square. And this is kind of tough guy thing. The problem with this, I think they're thinking of it actually not even from a vengeance standpoint, but a deterrence standpoint. Mm-hmm. And there is very little evidence. There's no evidence, in fact, that this kind of like executing people in a more based way is going to deter crime.
No.
What the evidence shows deters crime is not even severity of punishment, but swiftness and certainty of punishment is what deters crime. So we should, if we want to deter crime, according to the evidence, what we would do is we want a swifter process.
Right.
It should be you commit a crime, you're convicted very quickly, you are punished.
Yeah.
If you are released and you relapse, you are punished again.
Yeah.
And third time, you're in there.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem of trying to govern a gigantic country.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this in the shower. So this is like a literal shower thought. But just like our country is so huge that, like, you know, you talk about these things like, okay, what's really important for deterring crime is swiftness, right? So it's okay, we make the criminal justice system a little faster. In some cases, obviously, it's going to get it wrong and someone's going to be imprisoned for something or overly punished or whatever.
Security versus liberty trade-off.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, we're such a big country that, like, even if the margins are just a little off, it affects a huge number of people, right? Like if it's Lithuania and they have a really speedy justice system and then someone is unjustly, you know, the margins are a little off and so someone is unjustly imprisoned, that's going to be one guy, right? You know, because it's like a country of like less than a million people.
Yeah.
But for us, that's like, that's like half the population, right? Or not really, but so.
That came up, that was one of the smarter rebuttals to the Steven Pinker idea about violence declining over time. Is that it's about percentages, but the population is much bigger. So in a numerical way, the scale of murder and suffering and death is actually bigger.
Yeah.
Even as a much smaller percentage of Earth's population dies violently in any given year.
Yeah.
Like a much smaller.
Sure.
But we have 7 billion people on the planet now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't hear about the Great Northern War where Sweden fought Russia, but like a third of like Sweden's population died, right?
Yeah.
Because of related famine during the war or whatever. Yeah. Right. But that's, you know, that like the raw numbers doesn't even make the, you know, doesn't even make the top 10. But, you know, World War II, you know, you even look at like the Soviet casualties, it's like, I don't know, I think it's like 7% of the population or something.
It's the bloodiest thing in terms of sheer of numbers that's like ever happened in human history.
Yeah. Except for some random like Chinese rebellion.
that
people also don't talk about. Yeah. But yeah, that is a good, and as a utilitarian, I guess he should care about the raw numbers. I don't know if I'm right in describing him as a utilitarian, but
I think he's interested in utilitarian ideas. I mean, it's interesting. I mostly buy his thesis and the Better Angels of Our Nature, the book he has about that has a lot of data for how warfare, all categories of violence have, you know, fell from antiquity to the medieval period. And then again, a big bump from the medieval period to now. It's very persuasive. It's been probably one of the top 5 most influential books for me and how I think about the world. So I like Pinker a lot and I agree with the thesis of the book, but there's a couple smart criticisms. That one and also that like, well, a lot of native people had to be wiped out in order to bring about this relative peace involved the wholesale extermination.
Right.
Maybe not intentionally in a lot of places, but
It's like if the Nazis conquered the entire globe and wiped out all the minorities they didn't like. It would be like, oh, look, everything's so peaceful now.
But, you know, the Aztecs, they had to go. They had
Yeah, that's probably
the
worst.
The Aztec Empire had to fall.
It's probably Nazis, Aztecs.
They had to go.
Yeah, because even like the Carthaginians did, you know, child sacrifice too. But at least they were kind of mercantile, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the Aztecs, I don't think they were, they weren't capitalists in any way, right?
They were up against... the Spartans,
Romans,
the Persians,
Romans
against
the
Spartans, is what I'm thinking. I'm like, I don't like the Spartans very much.
No, yeah,
they're bloodthirsty.
Yeah, it's kind
like, they're the good guys. This is what I'm supposed to. Yeah, these people seem a lot more fun.
They're barbarians.
They have fun piercings.
Yeah,
and these people seem really
executing
annoying
prisoners and
like
yeah.
the disabled.
Yeah, and they're it's like a fascist society. Yeah. And then also, I mean, the movies actually try to like make them a little less fascist and a little more like rationalist, right? Yeah. Like they are opposing the like exotic mysticism of the Persian Empire in favor of, you know, manly rationalism.
It seemed a little homophobic to me, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one thing I liked about the movie. On the, like, we should do public executions to deter people. It's like, A, for someone who is already trying to make a splash with their horrible crime, like, you're just giving them martyr status.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is what I said when we talked about this on Rising, and that is a great point. Like, you have to be so worried about a contagion effect if you do that.
Absolutely.
Especially
look at Luigi Mangione just absolutely stewing in the acclaim he's getting, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A public execution of this man?
Mm-mm.
That sounds like the worst idea anyone has ever had.
Look at the French Revolution. They did hundreds, thousands of public executions. And you know what? They just got more
British
spies.
It is a far,
spies.
Far
there
better
was just
thing
more
that I do today. Yeah.
You just got more traitors to the Republic, selling them out to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Can't have that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, just like, you know, it is plausible. It is a theory. I think it is not a terrible theory that the amount of attention we give to, for instance, school shooters or mass shooters inspires some
contagion,
copycat.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that idea is not obviously or totally wrong necessarily.
No, I think it makes sense. Yeah.
What we do about that is not clear because we can't. I mean, the kind of implication is then we should not have mass media coverage of these things, but people want people
they
demand coverage.
Want
of, they
want to
know everything about the motivations.
Yep.
People hunger for greater detail.
Yep.
And so the media meets that need, that market need, and provides it. You would have to have government-compelled blackouts of information or the – because you couldn't even have the media company if you had a smaller or a more – actually more monopolized media environment, you could have the media distribution just agree not to name people.
In which they tried to do, but it's like it's useless.
Coward now,
social
media,
yeah.
Nope, it's done. Yeah. So you would actually have to have government censorship, and it's not going to work, First Amendment.
Yep.
So there's actually nothing you can do.
Right, yep.
Sad.
Just it is, yeah. Yeah, there is
it's
nothing
bad.
You can do. No good. No good.
All right, let's...
What's another cheery topic we can talk about? Oh, actually, here, let me ask one more thing, real quick.
Hit me.
If you were going to be executed, what would be the method you would choose?
Oh, I would want to be a firing squad, absolutely.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
That's
yeah.
the only right answer. Mm-hmm. You'd think less of me if I said something else.
Oh, completely. I was going to say, I'd shoot you right now, but of course, then you just, you wouldn't want that. No, yeah.
Gotta be firing squad.
It's something honorable about it. You die on your feet, you know? Not strapped into some medical gurney.
No. It's swift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They had it right when they did that, and we've evolved into a dumber form of killing people.
You get a chance to shout something out right before the shots are fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do a little, raise a little salute for a kind of vision of civilization that
failed,
did not...
but, you were happy to commit to it.
Speaking of Hitler...
Yeah. Oh, was that who was...
If Hitler was...
Who I don't support, yeah.
Was alive today, I'm stealing this joke, and he found out that the acolytes, the practitioners, the main... media presences who are trying to disseminate his ideas to the masses are a Muslim, a gay Mexican, a sneako, a clavicular. I think he would kill himself all over again.
No, he wouldn't. And in fact, this commentary has really pissed me off,
yeah.
right? Because say what you will about Adolf Hitler, but
So this is going to be the last episode of Freedom.
Yeah, right? No, the idea that he would have a problem with a gay... he wants all the Mexicans to be gay.
Right.
Because then there will be no more Mexicans eventually, right?
And there are a lot of gay Nazis.
Or then...
although he killed the most famous gay Nazi.
Yeah, but not because he was gay.
Because he was a rival.
Yes, he was a rival. And he was kind of like making him look bad in front of the army, right? Yeah, so Hitler was more than happy to associate with gay Nazis, or maybe not more than happy, but he tolerated it. It was one of the things he tolerated. A man not known for his tolerance.
He actually didn't have any particular problem with Islam.
No, he praised it, actually.
Favorably
of
Islam.
He liked Islam in comparison to Christianity because it was more of a warrior's religion, right? I think he talked about how good it would have been if... the Muslims had won at the Battle of Tours in France, because then Europe would have grown up under a more militant religion, Islam.
He was a quasi-pagan.
Yes.
This is why it's so ridiculous that on the new right, a disproportionately Catholic-influenced thing for some reason, that there's some even... he was no friend or ally of the Catholic Church
or Christianity
whatsoever.
Hitler despised Christianity.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like care for the weak, right? Yeah, and the meek shall inherit the earth.
Yes.
That's not Hitler.
No.
Whatever you want to say.
Hitler about him,
yeah. Or like one of the other guys in the like influencer party.
So who
busting.
We're talking about, yeah, in case you're listening to this and you have no idea what we're talking about, the gathering of these new the Andrew Tate, Nick Fuentes, and these other people.
They went to
a club in Miami.
Yeah, they got on a party bus and went to a club in Miami.
They're all dressed in their like bursting at the seams. They like to wear clothes that are, I mean, I wear tight clothes too, but they wear clothes that are like six sizes too tight for some reason. That's the look.
Yeah, you don't want to be bulging out of your suit. That doesn't look good.
It does not look good, but they think it looks good.
Yeah. You gotta make a decision. Are you gonna show off your muscles, or are you gonna like dress like an adult?
Right. You can. You know, there's the fashion guy on social media.
Derek guy. Yeah.
He drives me insane.
Yeah, he's really annoying.
I cannot stand him. And
I thought he was gonna get deported. You remember?
He wants everyone to dress in these like as baggy clothing as
Zoot
possible.
Suits, yeah.
He thinks because it's all about the flow and the men these days, they work out more. They have bigger muscles. They want to show off their muscles. They want tighter clothing. Mm-hmm. Times have changed, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
this is too much.
This goes too far. So they all got together. They went to the club to meet girls. I don't know how many of them wanted to really do that. Clavicular.
Yeah. Who is this guy? What's his deal?
So he has become...
You're more in these online swamps than I am, so...
Yes. Clavicular has risen to attention recently because he's a look smaxer. Doesn't that term make you want to like sterilize the human race?
Yeah, it really does.
which means exactly what it sounds like: maximizing looking good. So he, but it's just not just.
Oh, good thing we have a word for it.
Well, but it's also doing little like pseudo-science-y things to like boost your serotonin levels or not boosting them. What you know. Like chemical, like trying to regulate the chemical processes in your body, like a fucking Bene Gesserit.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So. I think he said, I don't want to misquote him, but that he like has punched himself in the face to like reform the muscles in some way. And he recently went viral. He was on with Michael Knowles, one of the Daily Wire people. I don't know why. They thought interview him about politics sounds like a good idea. He also kind of ran someone over in his car and... like live streamed it and was like, well, the guy was in my way. I maybe it was more ambiguous. There was a guy like feuding with him who would not get in the way of the car and he hit him. I don't think he killed him. He might go to prison. I don't know. Anyway, Michael Knowles. He's on with Michael Knowles and they're talking about right-wing things and he has right-wing views. And then Michael Knowles just assumes that that makes him a supporter of J.D. Vance. Mm. And he's like, oh, no, I would absolutely vote for Gavin Newsom over J.D. Vance.
Right.
And Michael Knowles is like, what? Why? Like, well, because Gavin Newsom is better looking. and to him, it's so obvious that he would support the better looking one.
That's so funny.
And Michael Knowles is like, but I thought you were right wing. Also, picking who should be the president based on who you think is the most aesthetically is a really stupid ideology. Nick Fuentes is also like this. So this is who these people are.
Yeah.
Real, not the A-team of a political commentator, but they were out on the town.
Not the A-team of Nazis either, yeah.
Saluting, doing, I guess, half-joking, maybe sincere hailing of Hitler. This Myron Gaines person seems more sincere in his devotion to
Adolf.
I guess. I don't know who Sneeko is. He's one of these people.
Yeah,
the
someone
Tate
else.
Brothers.
I guess one of them was also like a meth user, and so people are saying that Hitler would be upset by that too. It's like he gave the whole Wehrmacht meth. You know? He was doing cocaine eye drops.
These people are just trying to get attention.
Yeah,
they're social media personalities.
You know who else like to get attention?
Yeah,
Yeah, I don't know. I found all the I know who Nick Fuentes is, obviously, and Andrew Tate, but I didn't know the other ones. And there's something just like really cringe and off-putting about watching other people's like nightclub videos.
Yes, it's
like,
this did not need to be or was meant to be live streamed.
It doesn't look it's cringe. It doesn't look fun, right? Yeah,
did not look like they were having fun.
I like to have a night out on the town, but like I don't need to.
When
I look at other
people's,
it's like it's the thing that makes you just look completely uncool, right?
Yeah.
Because it's obviously like this is the set piece for you trying to be cool, right? It's like, did you see that video of Jeff Bezos was somewhere in the Caribbean, and it was not a nightclub, but they were doing similar nightclubby things where like people are dancing around and it looked like it's nightclub type environment.
Well, it looks embarrassing.
Yeah, it looks incredibly embarrassing. You're like one of the smartest, richest people in the world, and then this is how you're spending your time.
It doesn't feel embarrassing at the time because you're drinking.
Yeah, but you
which
don't
lower
be...
social inhibition and makes it seem fun and fine, and a little bit of that is good and okay.
At a minimum,
you
don't
carried away.
Want to be live streaming yourself. Yeah,
no.
This is the real problem with the phones, I think, is it's really taken the fun out of a good bender, you know? You could have had one of those and it's lost to the night, and now
you remember. Now you're looking, you're scrolling
now you
your
can
phone.
Do now you can do your audit of who did I talk to and
yeah,
where
did
I go.
Yeah, who did I text
and,
at 3 a.m.?
You know, right, how did all these Taco Bell rappers get here?
Ooh,
and,
yeah.
All these things like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
These
no
people.
Good. He's no good.
No good. All right. Well, we're done with Nazis. I wish.
Did we want to hit Greenland, or are we going to do counter programming and just say fuck it? No one cares.
I don't think anyone cares.
I don't think anyone
cares. Yeah,
no one wants this.
No one cares about foreign policy. The media loves foreign policy. It's their favorite thing. They all think they're all poli sci majors, and they're all like, oh, let's do the geopolitical analysis. People don't care.
Yeah.
Their viewers don't care.
Yeah.
Americans are going to decide who should be in charge of the government based on the economy, stupid.
Yeah.
That observation.
And their looks.
And who's the cutest boy? Mm-hmm. That's how they're going to pick the government.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. It's not not any of this.
Not on
4D chess.
Greenland.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems all kind of needless, I guess, that we did it. But Trump has an agreement, I guess, that he likes with NATO. I don't see how it's different than what he had before, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care about those NATO people. They've been pushing us around too much.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
We're entangled.
Pay for your own defense.
We're entangled in an alliance. George Washington said this explicitly. You know, it's no good. So, yeah, I like that. I kind of like the idea of having Greenland on the map, but I don't want to expend anything to get it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I would like to complete and I've made this joke before, maybe even on this one, but again, we're just the Robbie completionists are going to have to hear this 5 times.
Yeah.
Greenland is part of the North America continent landmass in risk.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah. So we need it for that purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we always, you know, you look at the map as like an actual map. So I guess like sometimes people underestimate the kind of like Arctic strategic, you know, Russia's a lot closer than it looks, you know, up there.
There are so many little islands in the Pacific area.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You look at
Canada, it's just like,
oh,
I mean, that's
yeah.
not the Pacific, it's the Arctic. But,
I was looking at Canada a lot when I was reading that, The
Lustfully,
Terror.
Lustfully, yeah.
With lust in my heart. No, when I was reading that book about the disappearance of the Terror in Erebus, and they're describing Baffin Bay and all the, like, the Prince William Land and all.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a map to see where I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
sure.
If you'd just gone that way, you would have found it. That's where the Arctic Passage is.
What
suckers.
You're a Midwest guy. What's the most north in the globe you've ever been, do you think?
Most north in the globe. You know, it's hard because is it Michigan? Is it – I guess it – is it – that's interesting. Northern Michigan is probably
– Yes, you'd actually be surprised though because
– is Boston somehow further north than Michigan because of the way the globe works?
No, I don't think so, but North America is actually like kind of far south compared to like given the climates of these places.
Yeah.
Whereas like Spain is where New York is, right? So like if you're in Scotland, you're like really far up there.
Spain is where New York is?
Yeah. Just like follow
That's crazy.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
But it's like a hot, sunny place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
South America is really far south.
Yeah, it's very
Africa
south.
Is not as south as you think it is. That's the big lie.
Yeah.
Is about how, like, Africa is mostly above the equator.
Yeah, right.
And South America is like Antarctica's right there. It's so far south.
It's really far south.
We're a north-south landmass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which made us, I think, in like the guns, germ, steel thinking, made us the Americas less competitive. Advanced
because you couldn't trade across like a
right. You want to because you want a band where the climate is mostly the same, which is what they have in the Silk Road Europe Eurasia landmap from China to Europe. You have mostly a similar climate because it's an east west paradigm, whereas we're this north south paradigm, and so there we have nomads.
Yeah, I read. That's a correct description of the thesis. I did read that book when I was like in eighth grade or
that's
something,
a good
and
book.
It sounded convincing to me. It's very controversial now, and I don't know. I can't remember exactly why, like some miscitation of the research or whatever. And I just know the thesis has gotten really beat up, but I'm not exactly sure again why. But I mean, this is the thing, you know. Historians and sociologists, you know, they're always chewing on this. Like, why did society develop here and not there, right? Yeah. It's the tubers is the one answer.
What?
The tubers,
that?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's where, so in places where you grew grains, that gave rise to states because you could more easily extract the surplus.
I know all that.
We talked about. Yeah,
the...
yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you said,
against
I said
the
tubers.
Grain.
You know,
the grain. I
don't
know what tuber is, grain?
Oh, no, because tubers are like, you know, potatoes. And so it's like,
oh,
this is why these places didn't develop states is because the food was in the ground. So like the state could, when they showed up to like extract the surplus. It's
right,
like,
you need a
there's no
grain
food here.
Specifically,
yeah.
You need a state because there's a period of where it's hard and then you have to store it for a while and it's easier to just steal the grain than it is to grow it. So you need somebody whose job is to just watch the grain to prevent the theft.
Well, I guess that'll be the positive case. The negative case is like it makes it easier for the state to steal your grain, your food. Yeah.
Right. The against the grain book theory is that this is what gives rise to the nation state. Well,
right.
Hunter gatherer versus farming. You need a state for farming. You don't need a state for hunter gathering.
Yeah.
The reason there's more people living in that like circle that's India and southwest China. There's more people living in that circle than there is in the rest of the globe because rice is very. There's most rice. Calorie per,
grain,
foot of space.
Okay. I didn't know that. That makes sense. Yeah.
Now we're dropping some knowledge on our listeners.
Check that out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We read some books.
Yeah. You mentioned multiple books that you've read. This is crazy.
I know. All right. We can move on from Greenland.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess just one thing I wanted to say about why people like talking about foreign policy is it's like we're this giant country that's far away from the other giant countries, and it's really nice historically, right? We don't have any problems, right? but it also means that, like, when we get over our skis a little bit, and then we go out there and we do some things that we don't have to do, right? Mm-hmm. This is the libertarian non-interventionist case. It's like, we got everything we need here. We don't need to go interfering in other parts of the world. The problem is when we go and interfere in other parts of the world, even if it goes disastrously, over there. like we really feel
there's
no consequences from our horrible decisions, right? Mm-hmm. We're like the rich kid that keeps getting bailed out by his parents, the parents being the United States of America. Like even something like Vietnam, which was a very bloody conflict.
Yes.
Over the course of the war, 50,000 soldiers died, each one a tragedy. That is a drop in the bucket of like America's overall population compared to like what happens when Russia goes to a war.
Sure.
Like you're going to grind through some men. Like you're going to really feel it. And so that's why we like to argue
about
it.
When we went to war with ourselves in the Civil War, that was a
really
huge catastrophic toll.
Yeah.
Like every, half of all young men in the South were dead by the end of the war.
Right. Yeah. World War II was fewer casualties, right? For America.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we had machine guns and bombers and everything else. But...
Yeah. Obviously, we can't take Greenland by force from
an
ally.
That
if they wanted to be part of the U.S., great. They don't want to be part of the U.S., so never mind.
Yeah.
We should just have good strategic relations and we got to have bases there. I agree and accept that it can't fall under Chinese influence or Russian influence. And we might, the post-war era might be over. And I think we do have to reckon with the fact, and maybe libertarians have to reckon with this, that it's a different world. It's a world where China Russia, not so much, but China and Russia are very powerful and evil and determined
guys,
to do evil.
Yeah.
Russia, you know, invaded its neighbor, is still in the process of invading its neighbor, is very resistant to any kind of peace agreement to stop doing that because they want to.
Yeah.
I am forced to concede, as someone who is not at all in favor of fighting the Ukraine war or urging them to fight on and have been urging some kind of deal, even if they lose part of Ukraine. Well, Russia want it.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
China wants stuff. It's bad.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's not
good. They're the bad guys.
So
they're the bad
guys.
All
ambiguous places are going to eventually, in the fullness of time, fall to Russia or China.
We should have them first.
Yeah.
Right? USA.
I know that's a very...
Totally.
Yeah. But we can't take them. We got to make agreements.
We should be nice about it.
Yeah,
let's be nice about it.
Yeah.
Totally. Did you see...
Because I won't deal with any moral relevancy. We were talking about this on Two Way.
Yeah.
And the leftist I was arguing with, she's like, oh, so we're no better than them. I'm like,
no.
We are.
No, we definitely
no,
are.
No, I much prefer us taking over the world than China.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
We do
a lot of bad things and our government is bad.
They do much worse things.
We cannot... be run by China.
No.
Cannot. That is like a extinction level possibility.
Yeah. It would mean the communists have won. Yeah.
It would mean the end of individual liberty. It would just be state-run capitalism.
Yeah.
It would be so bad, we can't let it happen.
Yeah.
Not because I love China. I love Chinese history. I love Chinese customs. The Chinese government.
The CCP.
Is very evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, we must seek to prevent that outcome.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of the evil of the Chinese government, did you read that Newsweek story about like DSA like trying to like cozy up to China?
of course.
So funny.
Of course.
I mean, and also despicable, but they're like, yeah, we just need to really be clear about our messaging on the Uyghurs. Definitely don't call it a genocide and stuff like that. And it's like, you're the democratic socialist, right? So why does the...
You just did a Padme.
Yeah.
Democratic socialist, right?
So why are you sucking up to the one that's, you know,
well,
sort
Hassan
of
Piker
socialist?
Was over there.
He loves China too, right?
Well,
yeah,
and he's a exact...
Kind of yeah.
He's the DSA kind of prototype, typical person.
Great, yeah. Never underestimate the ability of left-wing activists in America to love authoritarian governments overseas that would kill them the second they set off the boat there. Yeah,
you know, there was a little bit of a split on China during COVID among the left because COVID really fractured the left. I saw it in real time hosting Rising because we used to have a very you know, half the – maybe more than half was very left-focused with Bernie Sanders left. Kim Iverson, who was such a popular presence on the show, you know, was someone who nominally had been part of the left, but because of COVID had, you know, right-coded views on COVID. And I saw the break. People like her and Glenn Greenwald and Russell Brand and others. And she had been I think she would admit that I'm not like saying something people don't know, but like she had been more supportive of China or in what you're saying, but then China's COVID behavior was so reprehensible for her that then she became more against them.
Okay, interesting.
I think that's not an unfair representation of
yeah, well,
her
it's curious what COVID did to the left, because on the
it's
one
very
hand
very interesting.
You did have people who kind of split off and became more moderate or just very right-wing as a result of this stuff, right? So like, you know, like a Glenn Greenwald or Kim Iverson, as you're mentioning, or like someone like a Nate Silver who was actually pretty he was not a libertarian on any of the COVID stuff. He just like, I mean, it was when the vaccines came out. And that's where like the real split, I think, started to happen, where it was like, okay, we're done with this, like the sensible people.
Yes, we
and
have
then,
to be done.
Yeah. But at the
I
same,
can only hold on to my sanity for... like days more if we're not done with this.
Right. The vax and relax crowd.
Yeah.
But there was also this congealing on the left as well between like the masked Antifa goons on the street and then the like elite, you know, tote bag NPR listening liberals, right? Because like the like woke ideology of the lefty radicals like completely consumed the mainstream, right? To the degree that like CNN is talking about whether we should get rid of the police, right? Like mainstream Democrats are talking about this, right? And then on the flip side, because of their woke hierarchy, the lefty radicals on the street were also completely fine with lockdowns and everything else because it's, you know, that's part of oppression is
well,
you
experts
like coughing.
Say.
And, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. The like radical smash the system anarchists are also completely bought into all the conventional wisdom on COVID as well. So there was a weird like center left, far left, like
yes.
Total convergence, which then kicked off some more heterodox people.
The Democratic Party became a place for people who recognize and respect authority and will defer to it, authority yeah. and expertise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whereas people who are anti-authority and anti-expertise mm-hmm. had been kind of neatly divided mm-hmm. across the ideologies.
Yeah.
We libertarians certainly have a disproportionate share of them. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I count myself among them, but there's been a sorting among authority and expertise. If you like authority, you like expertise for the most part. Although maybe then this police stuff mitigates against that because now you do have Trump is now to some extent reuniting this opposition,
mm-hmm.
the Democratic coalition.
Yeah.
Because now I do have and in fact has pushed away, I think, some people who came a little bit. Rightward,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of COVID and because of other things,
it feels very 2020.
Yeah,
the stuff in Minneapolis. I mean, Minneapolis was kind of the epicenter of the 2020 craziness.
Yeah,
but a lot of this stuff feels really 2020. In part because something else I've noticed about this is just like it's kind of like radicalism on both sides. Like no one is willing to try to like be responsible for their own side. So like that's the administration, J.D. Vance goes out there and says, these ICE guys are doing a great job mm-hmm. and, they have done nothing wrong. Or if you see some video, it's, taken out of context or whatever. But then on the flip side, I was listening to one of these guys who trains, I'm forgetting his name, but he trains people to be observers of ICE, right, mm-hmm. in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. It was on Ross Douthat's podcast.
Mm.
And Ross Douthat, asked him, explicitly about the Rene Goode shooting and be like, do you think, is this how you would train people to do this and whatever? And he's like, he would not go there in terms of, criticizing any of her actions, right? Because... I mean, clearly that's he wouldn't show that video in his trainings and be like, definitely do this, right?
I hope not.
This would be like a case of what not to do.
Not.
And my views on this are very clear.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to criticize her too harshly.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you're not so like you know that she did not do what you would recommend people going out there and filming ICE should do, but you're not willing to say it either.
Right.
And so what do you think that's gonna like you're not exercising, and maybe it won't do any good, but it's like you're not exercising any restraints that you would normally caution, right? Because it's become this, this
obey
fight.
Obey the orders you receive from law enforcement and then call an attorney.
Yeah.
Call the ACLU.
Yeah.
Or call whoever if you think they were unlawful and they did.
You
still have to, in the moment, for your own safety.
For your own safety.
Right?
Yeah, if you think these guys are fascist goons, like,
then what do you
be? Yeah,
your conviction that what they're doing is unconstitutional.
Yeah. Yes,
by your own logic, they're not feeling constrained.
Yeah,
do for your own safety. Do what you're told to do. Document.
Yeah.
It's all being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's being recorded.
Right.
This here's another benefit to mass surveillance is that we can parse it later.
Yeah, but
but do what.
It was just interesting that he wouldn't say that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he would have gotten a ration of shit if he had said something reasonable and be like, she made some bad decisions, even if it's I put the majority of the blame on the officer here. He
that
shot her
mean
when he
should have been killed.
Right.
Or, nor does it mean he was necessarily justified in shooting her. That is going to be adjudicated
by
people who know more about the who are watching it from more precise angles than I can tell.
But it feels that element of it just feels incredibly 2020, where it's like someone is doing something you know to be wrong, but you won't criticize them because you feel like you're going to be on the other side of the issue.
Yes.
It's kind of like there was a really good First Things essay that came out during 2020. It was it didn't make an explicit comparison, I don't believe, but it did kind of wink at it when it was talking about the cadets in Russia at the beginning of the Russian Revolution. They were like the liberals, right? Like old school liberals, if they wanted democracy and free markets to a certain extent and stuff like that. And they were not terrorists. They were opposed to the people trying to kill the Tsar and bombings and stuff like that. But they also wouldn't criticize them. They wouldn't want to criticize the terrorism because then they felt like they would be tarred as supplicants and czarists, right? And that's where the place that the center left loves to sit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to criticize the horrible radicals, but at the same time, I know that they would also destroy my own political project.
The murder of the Tsar and his family makes me sad.
It
makes
me
sad.
Same.
I don't like it.
I have a little bit of a, for other countries, I have a little bit of romance for monarchy.
Yeah.
You know, the Tsar was.
There's no monarchy in our country.
No
we
monarchy.
Have no hereditary aristocracy. That's a good thing.
Yep. Yep. That's good.
For and monarchs country, are not, we're not for monarchy, but.
No, not usually. I mean, if I lived in the United Kingdom, I think I would not advocate for getting rid of the monarchy. I would not want it to become a republic. It's a left-wing cause over there, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand Americans who have strong opinions about, or even interest in the royal family. I mean, mm-hmm, I have like a historical interest in royal families, but
now that they're just like a set piece.
Like the gossip about what their lives is going on with, I don't care at all. It always strikes me as very funny when I'm asked to comment on it in American media, and I'm kind of like, well, what do you think about what Meghan Markle and whoever the Prince Harry's? I don't.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't care.
Yeah, I think it's Harry. Yeah,
I don't care. Like, why are you even asking me? Why would I have an opinion on
that? You
know
what it is?
And I have an opinion on everything. So if you force me to come up with one, I'll invent one for you. But I really don't care.
Yeah. Well, so you know what it is it's just they've nationalized celebrity, right? Mm-hmm. It's a government-provided celebrity is what you have now. You know, Elizabeth II, she was great because she, you know, you kind of want a symbol of the nation that you can love.
I mean, she was
without any,
she's a great figure.
She was the ideal. She
I
was
do
the ideal
admire
monarch.
Her.
Yeah.
What she her as a, she did good for her nation by being this positive role model.
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. it's through difficult times. Mm-hmm. Her father through World War II. There's a lot of positive things you can say about the House of Windsor's contributions to in the war period and after.
This is probably the best Charles they've had, right?
I love Charles II.
I mean, he had some
I
times.
Love
he had
Charles
some times.
II.
Yeah,
Charles II is the ideal monarch.
Womanizing, the
secret Catholicism.
That's right. He was a crypto papist.
All monarchs should be secretly Catholic.
Right, yeah.
Too Catholic, and then they start beheading everybody. But just secret.
That's an unfair.
secret Catholic inclinations, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. This is the monarch, Charles of the House of Stuart, Charles II, who came back to the throne after the Cromwell period.
Yeah.
And
these joyless Puritans killed his father.
And
he
wasn't even a dick about it. He only executed like a couple of them.
Literally just the regicides, the people who signed the death warrant
for his father.
And that was it, right?
And he would
magnanimous.
He would entertain. He thought it was hilarious that he like escaped from London and lived in hiding during this period.
He hid in a tree. Remember that?
He would entertain people about his stories of like, man, you know, hiding at the local brothel and knocking up every single one, like some real Robert Baratheon type stuff.
Hell yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's just awesome. You know,
you would want to hang out with Charles II.
He seemed fun.
He would be an absolute card.
Randy old fellow.
Oh, boy. Not his father. His father was pretty bad. He was a real. He was
bad,
an authoritarian.
Some
he was
bad
authoritarian.
Calls. Some bad calls.
He was a joyless authoritarian.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, the Roundheads, the Parliament opposition. They also had many of flaws as well, and it collapsed into military dictatorship. But,
I'm not a big fan of Cromwell.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah.
I like the Levellers.
I think Nick Gillespie said something favorable about him.
Really?
I'm thinking
he hates his Irish roots, right? Or
Well, right. It's a widespread massacre of the Irish that occurred.
And the defense of Cromwell is like, well, they all did it back then. you know. He ran a military dictatorship. Maybe not as authoritarian as some people think. But there was like a brief kind of like proto-libertarian part of the English Revolution against Charles I, the Levellers.
Sure.
But then Cromwell cracked down on them too. Yeah. So, and Charles II, he did kill some, Levellers too.
Yeah.
To be fair, they were trying to kill him, you know? So, and I mean, come on, if it's a choice between hanging out with Algernon Sidney and Charles II,
we know where we will be. Yeah. Great.
Do you have, is there another monarch that you would really like to spend some time with?
So many. So he's great. Who else do I like? How about you? You got any before us?
Let's see here. I'm not as read up on like European monarchical history as you are. I would not. Okay, so.
I love the Italian unification period.
Mm.
Victor Emmanuel.
He was a good time.
I just love that time period, and because I love the little collection of characters who are all trying to unify Italy for different and sometimes conflicting reasons. Like Garibaldi wants a unified Italy, but also Italy to include Nice.
Yeah. Because
he's from Nice.
Yeah.
Count Camillo Cavour wants to unify Italy, but only under Victor Emmanuel.
Yeah.
The Pope wants to unify Italy, under the Pope.
Yeah,
and they're playing like their own little Risk game of like who gets to, and Victor Emmanuel wins, and it's really cool.
Okay.
Some want to unify Italy, but with like a progressive, the kind of post revolutions of 1848 liberalism.
Yeah,
and they crush that real fast.
You know who I'd hang out with? I would hang out with Louis XV.
Because
he was a partier, right? He liked to have a good time.
Yes, the less well known Louis.
Yes, one of the many less well known ones, right? Now the downside, I guess, is that you'd be hanging out in Versailles, where everything is like strict protocol and it's all very ornate. So I don't know how much fun you could have. I mean, if you want to be like a drinking carouser, you know, people might be tempted to say Peter the Great, but that is a terrible idea.
You don't want
to
be in Russia.
You don't want to be in Russia, and also like Peter the Great was an asshole, right?
Yeah.
He was a mean guy. Like, he liked to get drunk and have a wild time, but he would also like beat you with a stick, right? So you don't want to hang out with him.
Well, that show about Catherine the Great has convinced me that I don't know how historically accurate it is that like for fun, yeah, they beat you with a stick and a bear attacks you
and shoot you in the leg,
and
right?
That's what's
so
fun.
I was listening to Rest is History, history podcast I like, and they were talking about how her husband, Tsar, is Paul. Is that
Paul.
Him?
Yeah. Paul was her. I think was her son. No, I think her husband was a Peter as well.
Okay.
And the son, I mean, they condense it in the show, but I think her son was Paul and her husband was Peter.
Okay, but so what they were saying, though, is like her and Catherine. Yeah,
who
Catherine,
she, and she had him killed.
Yeah. But what they were saying is like his character is Peter the Great, right? Like he's not, historically that Tsar was not like that, but like that's what Peter the Great was like.
Right.
You don't want to hang out with a guy like that.
No.
I'm trying to think of.
I would hang out with Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
It just seems cool.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he's great. He's great at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old monarchs of Europe. Yeah, there's not that many great ones, honestly.
You know who I'd hang out with?
Who?
Technically counts as a monarch. Leo the 13th, Pope.
I am familiar with, I think, Leo the 13th.
Yeah,
say more.
Yes, he wrote the famous encyclical laying out kind of Catholic social teaching about how the church is responding to socialism and capitalism as well. And, you know, there's some stuff in there that, like, as a libertarian free marketer, I would, you know, you're always on thin ice disagreeing with the Pope, but that I would maybe have some questions about. Maybe if only I could have talked to him about minimum wage law, I feel like maybe I could have influenced the document in some beneficial way. But it's a very pro property rights document, and it's very anti-socialist. And also, he was a big fan of this thing called Vin Mariani, which was an Italian coke wine. It was a cocaine wine. This is, you know, 19th century. We really miss it. But it was red wine with cocaine mixed in. And he loved this stuff so much that he, like, gave the maker a medal. And he agreed to appear in advertisements for it. And so having, like, a little cocaine wine with the Pope talking about, capitalism and how it,
that sounds
like a very nice evening.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
One other name also is Henry the VII is a little bit of an unappreciated king.
So I don't know much about him.
This is Henry the VIII's father. Henry the VIII obviously gets all the attention and is insane. Henry the VII was a remarkably modern ruler in many ways. A stable and normal person who, you know, won the War of the Roses, killed Richard III, ended the Middle Ages. And, you know, England had just had centuries of warfare and he calms it down efficiently and pretty well. And then Henry VIII blows everything up. But he loved his wife and loved his children. Yeah. He didn't have any mistresses.
Yeah.
He's like the only king ever who didn't, but wasn't also like secretly gay or something.
Yeah.
And he just he loved it. His son died. He was in mourning. Well, he just seemed like a good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
You know what Peter the Great did? He tortured his son to death.
Those Russians, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Catherine the Great seems fun.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
The idea of a woman murdering her husband and doing a successful coup and ruling in the 1600s, the 1700s?
1700s
is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Girl boss.
Girl boss.
I bet it's being celebrated today very much. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, remember that the Woman King movie? Do you remember the discourse around that? Some African.
Oh, but they were like slave traders.
They were slave traders. Yeah. But they were girl boss slave traders.
Right.
So.
I remember there was this one libertarian feminist page that like posted like some like five, you know, great women in history, and like one of them was I'm forgetting her name, but she ran the Palmyran Empire that invaded Rome, you know, based in Syria. And like people were like pointing out in the comments, it's like, I mean, she's like a genocidal, you know, invader monarch. What does this have to do with libertarianism?
History's messy.
History's messy. History's messy.
In one man's liberator is another man's conqueror. You know, we've got mixed views on all these people. Is Napoleon. I think of Napoleon as a very malignant figure.
Yes.
Though not as malignant as the movie about him that recently
came out. That's the real crime.
Anti-Napoleon
propaganda. Off with their head, yeah. No, Napoleon was a bad man
but
and did
not,
bad things.
But he's not remembered for being a bad man because his wars of conquest were against other European nations and were not racial.
Well, except for the Haitian incident, but other than that,
yes. Yeah. But it was not – he was not trying to exterminate people of a certain
– Sure.
It wasn't a conquest of the New World, Haiti aside.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was France versus England and Austria and Russia. And so the scale of that death doesn't register. Maybe will now that we're past wokeness, maybe it will. But there's not but in the modern liberal kind of understanding of why people are bad, that doesn't you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a the scale of that tragedy doesn't register because it wasn't
totally. I mean, it helps that he himself wasn't like personally psychotic, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was a relatively normal person for, you know, a bit of an ego, I might say. But, you know, it's a checkered legacy. You know who doesn't have a checkered legacy? Charles II.
God, I love that guy. I love that guy. I wish he were still alive today and not dead of syphilis and 80 other venereal diseases.
Well, you know, the randiness and the carousing has some consequences.
We can cure most of those things now, so he'd be just fine. All right. Anything else we want to say before we wrap up here? Does that about do it? There's a big snowstorm coming.
I think it's going to be bullshit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I celebrate this. People are such pussies about this. They wanted me to stay in a hotel to make sure I could get to Rising on time. Like, I can't imagine the calamity that would stop me if I can't drive. I can't even take the metro. If the metro's not operating, that's we're living in like the post-apocalyptic times, right? There's no show.
That or it's a Tuesday afternoon.
People are well. You're from everywhere, mm-hmm. but you've lived in places.
I lived in Idaho.
I lived in Michigan, which gets a lot of snow. And gets a lot of snow, and then 8 hours later, they've cleared away all the snow. Maybe they don't do that here because we're in the South. These Southern boys don't understand a good snowing.
Right. No, it's going to be completely fine. And, you know, worst comes to worst, you have to go to the grocery store the next day or whatever. Yeah. Buy some grits. I bought a tub of grits just in case everything gets closed down for a day.
Well, I have some plans on Sunday that I am very worried and, in fact, reasonably certain will end up getting ruined.
Oh,
I've already committed to that. But damn you, God of ice.
Yeah,
paganism here. That road leads to Hitler.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, when you start having pagan inclinations, think just like Hitler.
And on that note,
see you guys next week. Bye-bye.